undergraduate studies at Pacific Union College. I got my bachelor's degree in theology, and when I graduated, there were a little over 20 of us in our class who were all preparing for ministry in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. After our graduation, only half of us received calls to begin working as pastors in the Adventist Church. The other half had to find something else to do. And I know that all of them were devastated because each one of them was convinced and convicted that God had called them to become ministers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, gospel ministers, to preach the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And when there was no place for them to work as ministers and pastors, all of their dreams, all of the work that they had done for 4 years, the thousands of dollars that they had invested in tuition to prepare them for that ministry, all disappeared. And I know that several of them were so devastated that they even ended up leaving the Adventist Church. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything that devastating in your life, but the disciples of Jesus experienced just that thing late Friday afternoon, almost 2,000 years ago, when their master, their savior, their king, died there on that cross. All of their dreams, all of their hopes, everything that they had invested in following Jesus vanished, and they were completely devastated. Luke tells us about two of those disciples, and I hope you recognize that Jesus had many other disciples besides the 12 that we know about that are named for us. And two of those disciples who experienced that devastation began to make their way home to Emmaus. Luke tells us about them, and I invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, starting at verse 13. It is now Sunday, the third day after Jesus' crucifixion. I'll read starting with verse 13 and invite you to follow along. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." If you can picture this, these two disciples of Jesus, after the devastation of seeing their master and king killed that Friday afternoon, they're making their way home, talking about what had happened, talking about all of the dreams, the hopes that they had for themselves, for the nation of Israel, how all of that vanished, and how sad they were. And suddenly Jesus walks with them, but they don't recognize him, and he asks them, "What are you talking about?" And Luke tells us they stood still. They were so shocked that someone actually had not heard about what had happened to Jesus. They stand there just looking sad. And then they began to tell him about this Jesus, about the hopes that they had, and about how they were all devastated with his death. They allowed themselves a little glimmer of hope when they heard about those women who went to the tomb, could not find his body, but were told by angels that he was alive. But when some of the other disciples went to check out the story, they saw nothing, and so they decided it was all just either a hallucination or just a cruel trick. So they continued in their sadness. In verse 25, Jesus says to them, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus looks at them and calls them foolish. "You fools." And begins to give them a Bible study and explains to them that the Bible had predicted everything that happened to Jesus, and that all of this was necessary in order for Jesus to enter into his glory. Luke goes on to tell us how they reached their home, and because it was late, invited Jesus to join them to spend the night. And as they're beginning their meal, Jesus, in the process of saying the blessing over the food, they recognize who he is. And as soon as they recognize that it's Jesus, he vanishes. Verse 32, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. They said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us, as he explained to us what the Bible said about himself?" These two disciples were sad because they were living their lives as if Jesus were still dead and buried in the tomb, when in reality, he was alive. And there are many Christians today who make that same mistake. They're living their lives as if Jesus is still dead, when in reality, he is alive. By the way that they live their lives, and when you ask them, "How are you?" and they stand there looking sad, it's as if Jesus is still in the tomb, when the reality is Jesus is alive. And even more important, Jesus is not only alive through his Holy Spirit, he is right here with us by our side. But we just don't see him. We're blind. But if we'll take the time to open his word and to study scripture, to learn more about Jesus, then our hearts will burn within us, just as it did for those two disciples, when they realized that all of this was supposed to happen for our blessing, for our salvation, for the glory of Jesus. So this morning I would ask you, how are things with you? Are you standing there being sad? Has your life been devastated because of what you hoped for, what you dreamed for, has not happened? Whether it's with work, your family, church, whatever it might be, remember that Jesus is right here with us. He is by our side, wanting to guide us, wanting to help us, wanting to bless us. And all it takes is for us to open his word so that he can speak to us and teach us, so that our hearts will burn within us and our eyes will be opened and we'll be able to see he is alive and he is with us. This morning, we celebrate communion. We celebrate the fact, the reality, that Jesus not only died for us, but Jesus Christ is also alive and with us, abiding with us moment by moment of every day. And I invite you to celebrate this reality by participating with us in our communion service. And my hope and prayer is that as we do this together, that your heart will burn within you. The Seventh-day Adventist Church practices an open communion, and by this, you do not need to be an official baptized member of our church. As long as you believe in Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to participate with us. And at this time, we will wash each other's feet, following the example of Jesus in his humility and washing the feet of his disciples to give us a lesson that we should follow. There are rooms prepared and the classrooms off to the side there for the men and the women to serve each other. And if there are any married couples who would like to serve each other, the Better Living Center behind me is prepared for you to serve each other. So at this time, we will dismiss you so that you can wash each other's feet. And while you're doing that, invite the children to come down to the front and join me for our story.